The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, fellas? Welcome back to another episode of Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. I've had the same intro for the longest time, and I feel like I need to switch it up. I don't know. I'm feeling it literally since I think I first started this. I think the intro has been the exact same. So I guess I'll just use a different voice every time I start the episode. That might get annoying, though. Anyways, today's episode I'm super excited about. I just finished recording, so I'm kind of buzzing off of it. Lucia Stafford, she's a Canadian middle distance runner, 800, 1500. She just most recently, this past weekend at BU, ran the Canadian and the North American record in the 1K. It was 2:33, which is so fast. I don't understand how someone can run that fast in a 1K, but she did it. In this episode, we talk about so much, from her having Graves' disease and having to swallow a radioactive pill, to, you know, joining Bowerman and then leaving 2 months later and going back to her coach, who she's had since she was 12, and just so much more, like life outside of running. So stay tuned for today's episode. Today's episode of the podcast is brought to you by none other than Track Club Atelier. It's presented by the Pittsburgh Track Club, and it's a new clothing brand that has modern and fun designs on loungewear staples. I've talked a bit about it in the last couple episodes, but I'm seriously obsessed with their pieces, you guys. And they're not just for runners. They have cute illustration designs for throwers, jumps, multi-events, and more. The crew neck that I have is specifically for the heptathlon, and I obviously do not do the heptathlon, but the design is so cute that I had to cop it. And they update the shop with new items frequently so, like, fans of the sport can express themselves. They have shirts that say, "Running time trials won't keep families together," and a tote bag that says, "You can go to hell, I'm not going to Eugene again." And I have that tote as well, of course, because obviously I went to school in Eugene. You can find the shop on www.pittsburghtrackclub.com and use code EMMA15 in all caps to get 15% off your order. The link is in the show notes, pittsburghtrackclub.com, use code EMMA15 with all caps. Go check it out. Now let's get straight into today's episode with Lucia. All right, Lucia, I'm excited to have you on the podcast. Welcome. To get started, you want to just give us like a little bit of a rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, totally. Thanks so much for having me, by the way. I'm very excited. My name is Lucia Stafford. I am a runner. I like to do the 1500 and the 800. I also am a civil engineer, but Don't ask me to design anything because I'm a couple years out of practice. And right now I'm actually in a part-time music program too. And so, yeah, I'm living in Toronto and that's my life.
Oh my goodness. A woman of many talents. Okay, wait. What kind of music?
It's like a singer-songwriter program. So it's very broad strokes. Just honestly, I think I need to have like something else going on while I'm training, and I've always loved music. So it's only like 8 months. So it ends in April before like the summer season gets crazy, which is perfect. Sometimes I feel like, what am I doing in this? But it's really fun.
No, I feel like that's perfect. Like, honestly, when I have people on and I feel like a lot of people are this way, when you're a pro runner, it's like, that's the only thing that you do, that it's nice. It's like so cool to have like a little hobby like that, or just like something that, like other interests. Cause it's honestly, because of the time that you have to put into running and also just like the mental energy that running sucks out of you a lot of the time, it's hard to have other interests. So that's cool that you have like the ability to do that and the passion for it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
yeah, I think honestly, I just found like, because last year I was just running and it almost like took more mental energy to just constantly have all this time to like think about running. So yeah, I think this is, it's very flexible too. Like I wouldn't be able to like go and work a 9-to-5 right now, obviously, because that would be too much, but, but yeah, it's a good like in the middle.
Yeah. If you did a, like a full-time engineering job, ran and did singer songwriter, like, oh, you'd have a lot of time at parties.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to go to parties.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the social life, something has to give in that equation. The social exactly. life probably out the window. Okay, so like, so are you, you're a good singer then, or do you prefer like the songwriting part?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I like to sing. I don't know what I, what level I'd classify myself at. But I, the songwriting stuff is new, but I'm really loving it. Honestly, it's kind of like journaling, but you just like put music to it and it's like not as hard as journaling because you don't have to write quite as much.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a good creative outlet too, because I think to be really happy in life, I feel like everyone needs to have their own creative outlet, and I feel like that's a really good one that a lot of people don't do, especially if you're like an athlete. I feel like
totally
there's not that many like singers that I like that also double as track athletes, but maybe it's just like a realm I haven't tapped into. Maybe there's like a little niche that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, I mean, the lifestyles, I don't know how compatible they are, you know, because like being a singer, like a lot of my friends, because I have some friends who, you know, do gigs and stuff around Toronto, and it's all, you're often playing at like 11 p.m. and it's at bars and stuff. So yeah, that lifestyle isn't, you know, the most compatible. So maybe that's why it's a little bit more on tap. But
yeah,
I literally just, what I'm doing is it's mostly on Zoom, and I'm just like sitting in my studio apartment with my guitar writing lyrics, so that's nothing too crazy.
Is it like a part of like a college program, or like what is it, just like a random group thing?
Yeah, it's like a community college program, so it's like at Seneca, which is just like a community college in Toronto. I just kind of stumbled upon it and I was like, hey, what the heck, why not?
That's so cool, honestly. Like that's pretty inspiring. I feel like I need something like that, like it's just some like random thing that I stumble upon. I'm like, I want to do that, like pottery or something.
Yeah, totally. Well, I feel like, especially, I feel very lucky to have running, because like that's, I know that's like my thing right now, and that's what, luckily I'm making income from that, so it's like this cool opportunity to explore other stuff, because I have the engineering degree. I know I can't go into that right now, but like I want to see what else is out there, so it's like a cool time to like explore while you have the security of, you know, running. And not that running is ever that secure, but you know, I have running there.
Yeah, how secure is professional running really? Like,
yeah, you know, it's a bit of a, so this makes it feel a bit more secure to have something else too.
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, it's getting more secure too, especially, you're pretty young too, because I was looking at your Wikipedia, you know, as one does, doing my research. You were born in 1998, so that makes you what, are you 24
25 24 yeah
24. Okay. Yeah, so you have, like, many more years in your running career, probably, I guess. Like, how long do you want to run for, do you know?
You know, I think until it stops being fun. And I think that's honestly why I'm doing this, too, because I think, like, in order to stretch my running career as long as I want to, I'll have to have, like, other stuff going on. Like, when I, even for that 1 year where it was, like, just running, I was like, okay, if I was just running, like, I can't do this for, like, another 5 years. Like I can't even do this for another year. Like, so honestly, I definitely, like, I feel like you think about it in Olympic cycle. So definitely Paris, almost surely LA. And then after LA, I'll probably be like, okay, am I still enjoying this? And we'll see. Who knows? I don't even know where I'll be by then. Who I'll be by then. I don't know.
Well, exactly. I feel like so much happens. Like when people ask for a 5-year plan, I'm literally like, I have no idea. Cause I look back at 5 years ago. When was that? That was like 2018. Like I just graduated college. Like I would have never predicted what would happen over the next 5 years. So I think there's being in your 20s though.
I know. And it's weird. Cause it's very hard to at first, like when you first graduate, cause honestly, up until you graduate university, like your life's been pretty like set. Like you don't have to make that many decisions. And that's something I really struggled with last year. Like, and all your friends are in the same path as you. Like everyone's on the same page. And then you graduate and it's like all of a sudden an explosion. Everyone goes their own way. And you're like, what the heck do I do? Like now you're officially an adult, because you're not an adult before that.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? You just have to lean into it because you have no idea what's going to happen. If you pretend like you have some sort of control, it's just an illusion. So.
Yeah, I like that. One of my favorite quotes, it's in my Instagram bio. It's, if you never wing it, you'll never learn how to fly. Because it's like, you don't know,
Oh.
because you don't, and it's so corny. But it's been in my Instagram bio since like my freshman year of college. And I just love it because it's like, I feel
Yeah.
like all the success I've had in my life has come from just kind of like winging it. Like I ended up transferring
Totally.
to Oregon, my freshman year of college, had never visited, ended up like, it was, I don't know, it was a good experience, like going to Oregon and then, you know, starting my YouTube channel and like my career, I guess, which is now like everything I've just been winging it. And it just, I don't
Yeah.
know, I guess you just learn how to fly eventually, kind of, but I don't know if I ever really feel like I've taken flight, but.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. A bit of turbulence every now and then, and you kind of you take a brief little landing break, and then you can
Yeah,
soar
you need to
again.
refuel up.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I want to talk about like how you got into running and stuff because, yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone just needs their origin story and stuff. And you are still pretty young and you have, I feel like you've been good for a while. So I'm just curious, like, what your background is. Like, how'd you get your start?
Yeah, so my family was kind of like a running family, as people might have guessed, with my sister also being a very good runner. But so my dad was on multiple national teams, like for World Cross Country for Canada. So he was a big runner growing up. And on my mom's side, my aunt and uncle, not my mom, but my aunt and uncle were also big runners. And my aunt was on a junior national team as well. So like when I was younger, I kind of had that running background, but I actually started off as like an Irish dancer.
Ooh, wait,
So
didn't your sister too?
yeah, we both
Okay,
did. Yeah.
yeah.
Which honestly was great, like base training. Like you have to
I've
get be
actually
really
heard that. I've met a couple
all the
Irish dancers that have converted to runners, and I think there's a strong correlation there.
Totally. Yeah, I think Sheila Reid might have been a like she was a former like Team Canada athlete. I think she was an Irish dancer. Yeah, so it's like pretty common, and it's because it's like very aerobic, and also it's honestly like if you took the 800 1500 and put it into a dance, that's basically what it's because you have to be like aerobic and like really strong, and that's what it is.
I'm just like,
So
it's, I'm trying to imagine putting those two races into a dance and what that would look like. I mean, I know what like a good Irish jig looks like, kind of off the top of my head, but I don't know. It's just funny
yeah.
to think about a bunch of runners dancing, also. So,
Yeah, that'd be a little twist just on the start line. Surprise, you got a
everyone does,
jig.
yeah, everyone does a little Irish jig instead of like their final stride.
I would be an Olympic medalist, that's for sure.
Yeah, see, there you go. You got the qualifications.
Exactly. But yeah, so I did that and then I played like soccer as well. And then when I was about 12, my dad, we had to like drive out to Brampton, which is like a city an hour from Toronto, 3 times a week for Irish dancing, and it was pretty expensive because you have to like buy these heavy costumes and these wigs and like literally like sock glue and yeah, it's like this whole thing, and you have to get tans, like it's pretty intense, and you have to travel a lot, which you do for running too, but it was very expensive. And my dad was like, you know what, I'm tired of paying for this, I'm tired of driving you guys all the way to Brampton 3 times a week because it's like a lot. And we were also starting to like run more, just like at our high school, or sorry, middle school. And we were liking it. So then, yeah, we kind of started the transition. I also think I'm pretty competitive. And when I was in like grade 4, I won like the provincials by like quite a big margin. And I was like, you know what? I kind of like that feeling. So, so that definitely helped. And then also just like, yeah, I think once I started, it became like a way to connect with my family. And then also I just got really lucky. Like I met a lot of really amazing people and an amazing coach, which I think honestly, I think my endure like the fact that I developed so well and have been at competing at a high level for so long is because I did get so lucky with such a great coach who was able to like develop me slowly. And you know, I was never overtrained at a young age, and I still had like and had the fun in it. So yeah, so because that's my coach now, still Terry Odchenko. So I feel like that was a big part of it. And then, yeah, that's kind of how I started.
Oh my gosh. So you've had this basically the same coach since you were like what, in middle
12.
school?
Yeah, 12 years old. Like grade eight, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like,
I
there
know.
must be so much like trust in that relationship too.
For sure.
I guess, but we don't have to talk about the Bowerman stuff for that long because I feel like it was a
Yeah.
short stint. But how did you make the decision to leave that coach then and then just try something new?
Well, so I think yeah, like I always loved working with my coach, and he's actually like developed a lot of really good athletes, and I knew the training was working, and I knew there was still like room to grow there, but I had like been in Toronto my whole life. Like I went to university there too, and I really just like wanted a change. And I think because my sister was at Bowerman, it was on the West Coast, which I like love the West Coast. I still think I'm gonna end up out there. I like freaking love it. But yeah, so that with my sister out there, and then obviously Bowerman is like one of the best groups in the world. And I think it was just this question I had in my mind, and if I didn't do it, I knew it, like there would be a lingering regret and like just wondering what if. And also, like you just said, like I wanted to wing it. I wanted to like take a leap and like just see what happened. But yeah, it was definitely tough because like it had nothing to do with my current training situation. Like I loved that as well, but I think just really wanting a change was the biggest part. And then yeah, I got there, and yeah, there was parts of it I loved and parts of it that like weren't for me. But it was honestly not too bad of a transition because Jerry, his like personality has a lot of similarities with my college coach. So yeah, like I got along really well with Jerry. So it was great. I'm glad I did it, honestly. And I learned a lot and grew a lot. And yeah, I'm really glad I did
I'm curious. Obviously, like I just have a lot of friends on the Bowerman team or that have been on the
it.
Bowerman team. Like, what did you like and what didn't you like about the situation?
Well, first of all, I loved, like, I really loved Portland. Like, I love the West, like, I just love the West
Really?
Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
Oh,
love,
okay. West Coast.
yeah.
Portland is like so different. Like, I live in California, and Portland and
Yeah,
California are
true.
like two, we're on the West Coast, but it's like two very different parts, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's very true. So in Canada, like when people say West Coast, they almost always talk about like Vancouver or Victoria,
Yeah.
which are like very similar to Portland, just like a lot of really beautiful lush forests. So I just love that, and I love the I just think I like the lifestyle out there too. Like I think I was just like meant to be out there. But like Portland itself, I just loved, basically my apartment was like right on Forest Park, so like I would go for like walks in
Okay.
Forest Park like every day, and I just loved that so much. And but the thing is we were only there for like 2 months, so I knew I was never really gonna like feel at home in Portland, so that was tough. I think the fact that they're on the road so much would be really tough for me, especially because I do want, like, need this balance in my life with running. And yeah, like having a community outside of the team would be really hard in that group because they are like just gone so much. And so like that would be really hard for me, especially someone who like doesn't live in the States, doesn't, you know what I mean? Like it'd be really hard to get that community outside of running. Like I think if I stayed like over time, it would have happened, but that was something that I struggled with. I think also one of the other things I loved, obviously, are the people. Like I really got along with the girls there. Like I lived at altitude with Chris and Courtney, and it was so much fun. So that was really hard to let go of as well. But even like after my race on Saturday, they gave me a call, and it was so sweet. Like it was just so nice, even though it was a short time. I feel like I did really make really good friendships. And so that was amazing. And yeah, seeing like the level of dedication and talent in the other athletes was really cool. I think the training was a bit of like a mixed bag, because like I do know that aerobically that's a place I can grow a lot, but like the workouts, I think when I like have the most fun in a workout and feel like the most confident is when I'm doing like what I'm doing now, like more 800, 1500 training. And I think honestly, like there's so many ways to train for the 1500, especially that like at the end of the day, you have to do the training that's gonna make you feel like confident and fit and like getting on that starting line, like you're ready to go. 'Cause like there's so many ways to do it. So it's just like the stuff there, I think, yeah, like long, slow miles, a lot of volume, like that doesn't excite me. And like I think in order to train harder, like you gotta show up to the track excited for the workout, right? So, yeah, so I think that was something else that I struggled with. But yeah, all in all, like it was a short time, so it's hard to know exactly like how things would have turned out. But I think there was like a just something in me, even while I was there, like I was glad I did it, but I was like, I feel like this isn't the setup for me. I think the biggest thing, honestly, was like making sure that I could have the balance I needed would have been really tough to do.
Yeah, I mean, everything you say like makes a lot of sense. The balance stuff I totally get just from my friends being there, people being on the team, people leaving the team, whatever. Like, it's just a, such a specific program that you like really have to hone in on running, and that's basically it. So, I mean, like Carissa, like we had like a good friend group in Portland because I live with her, and like we lived right next to our other friends. So like when she was here or when she was in Portland, she was like able to, you know, have other friendships. And same with Sinclair Johnson when she was on the team. It was like we were all friends or whatever. But I know like a lot of people, it's hard to, I don't know, make friends when you're gone for literally months out of the year. But obviously, like it makes people good runners. So it just like kind of depends on like what you thrive best in. Like now Sinclair's with Pete Julian's group, Union Athletic Club. And I feel like, I mean, this is just from an outward perspective. I just feel like she probably likes the balance of like being able to do a little bit more of her own thing a little bit more. Yeah, so I think everyone's different. And the same thing with like the training. Again, I'm not a runner on Bowerman. I'm just speaking from outside experience, but I feel like it would be hard for an 8:15 runner to really thrive there because of the amount of like volume and threshold work that they do, just like the amount of training that they do. I feel like it would, because I don't think, you know, I'm not good enough to ever join Bowerman. I never have been, but if I went to a program that was like strength based like that, I feel like I would be in the same situation as you, where I'm like, this is a little much, you know. I can't, I want to be excited when I show up to the track, not like be dreading this like huge long tempo run that I have to do, and just like do more speed stuff. But like you said, there's like so many ways to train for the 1500, so it's kind of hard to know exactly like what works for you until you put yourself, it's like so much trial and error. But yeah, I mean, it's good also that you like took a risk and took a chance on yourself, because again, it's so much better like living without regret or what ifs, because now like you have it in your mind, like you tried it out, didn't work as well as you wanted it to. And it seems like it was overall still a positive experience, so that's good. I guess like when you decided to leave, like why did you end up going back to your old coach? Or obviously you still have the good relationship, but did you want any change from that, because you had obviously like left. Was it kind of weird to go back?
I think like because like when I made the decision to leave, it because I that was totally isolated from the coaching situation, like I still had 100% faith in the training I was doing with my with Terry. It was easy to go back because I still had all that like confidence and faith. And honestly, like I definitely still crave some change, and but it's more like location. Like I think I just really want a new city.
Okay, no,
Like
that's
I
fair.
love,
Like that would be hard, like staying there for your entire life. I feel like I cannot do like monotony. I moved around so many times just 'cause I, like, especially at this age, you know, when we're young, I feel like now is the time to like move around. So I totally get it. I think a lot of people do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like with running, it can be tricky because it's like you're not like you have to like the city and like coach, like that's all like so intertwined. So you can't really make like decisions isolated from each other. But the I mean, I am lucky that I'm from Toronto because it is like a very big city with a lot going on. And I think that's why I've been able to like stay in it for so long and be happy. And I love like the my community here. My friendships are so great. And my family's here and I'm very close to my family. But like yeah, I have this like I've like you said, I've been here for 24 years. Like I have this itch to see somewhere new. And like luckily with running, we do travel a lot. So you do get to see new places, but it's different when you're traveling somewhere new than when you actually live somewhere new. So like all the I mean, right now I know like this is where I need to be, but like I definitely still have that urge to move to a new city. And so I think like even like I do stints in Victoria or Vancouver in Canada just to do that because I love it so much. And my coach is like great, like at with the like he'll just send me workouts. Honestly, he's so busy right now because he's the University of Guelph head coach that like I do often do my training in Toronto when the group is in Guelph anyway. So I know like that would work. And there's so many runners out west in Canada that like I know I'll figure out a situation that works. But yeah, I totally have that itch that's still there. So going back, wasn't hard to go back to my coach, but it was kind of hard to go back to Toronto, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, and it's hard too when you're doing well, because then it's like, if you still have that itch, it's like, why do I have this itch? Like, I'm obviously like doing really well, and it's hard to make a change when things are going well. It's easier when you like have a catalyst, you're like, I'm at rock bottom and I need to do something about it, you know? But when things are going well, it's like, you're pretty hesitant, I feel like, to make a massive move, but...
Yeah, totally. That's why I feel like right now I'm satisfying the itch by like just the traveling and like doing stints out west. After the Olympics, I guess, if I want to move to a new city, I will. But honestly, like I said, this is what your 20s is. I have no idea what's going to happen. But like, I'm totally happy with my like training situation and my coach. Like, I couldn't be happier. So like, I know like that feels secure. It's just like, where do I want to be and exist in my life?
Yeah, that's good. The running is going well. It's more just like internal, like something new, something fresh.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, I'm curious though, because you have been with your coach for so long. Did you have any periods of like, I don't know, like plateauing and stuff? Because I also ran from like when I was like really young, and it's kind of the same thing where it's like, I knew I was pretty good when I was young. Like, you win a race and you're like, oh, I'm pretty good at this. You know, it wasn't like all of a sudden I got really good. I feel like it was just a constant progression, whatever. But like puberty is just a really hard time for a lot of females. And I feel like it's a conversation that people talk about a lot now, but I know for me, I had definitely a couple years where I grew like 8 inches in high school. So I like my body completely changed and then I got a little slower. But did you have any like time periods where you were kind of navigating puberty at all?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of had that, like you said, when I was younger, I mean, not to toot my own horn, I was like pretty good.
I toot my own horn all the time. I'm like, I'm naturally talented. I'm sorry. It's just,
I'm amazing.
I'm amazing. I'm the goat.
Yes. So I definitely started off pretty hot, and there was, I think, I don't know if this is TMI, but I hit puberty at like 13. So like, which I honestly think was like lucky that I hit it a bit earlier, because I think like, I hit it before my training got too intense almost. And like, I went through that transition early on in my running career. But like, yeah, there was a period where it's like anemic. And I think also just like heading into high school, all of a sudden, like I wasn't the best by a lot. And like, that was hard, like making that like mental shift, being like, oh, there's other good girls out there. What? Like, you're not just going to win every race. So I remember that being really challenging. But I think like, because my coach is, like, did such a good job developing me. And he also was my sister's coach too, and like developed her really well. And like Maddie Kelly, my main training partner, she's an 800 meter Olympian. She's worked with him a long time too. And like, she's PB'd every year. So like, he's very good at like developing and like making sure that you're like constantly improving. And I think because of that, in my high school years, I still had like that improvement year after year, which was really nice. But I'd say in university, I definitely hit a bit of a plateau, because in first year or second year, I think I had like a huge breakthrough and ran under 4:10 for the 1500. And I was like, whoa, this is so exciting. Like, what the heck? And then, but I also, while all this was going on, puberty honestly wasn't the big thing for me. For me, it was my thyroid, which I've talked about before in the past. But basically in grade 10, I got diagnosed with Graves' disease, which my sister also has, which is weird. but it's basically when you have an overactive thyroid. So you're like constant, your body's basically like on overdrive. And so your like heart rate is super high. You can like lose a lot of weight. If it goes untreated for a long time, it can be pretty dangerous. But basically like for training, you just like are exhausted and like super anxious. And like when you try to run, your body is just like, I don't know, it's like burnt out. It's kind of like that feeling of just being burnt out all the time. And so, I first got it in grade 10, and then you take medication for it. And basically you try to like wean off of it. And there's like a 50-50 chance that you can like relapse. And I kept relapsing. So like, I would be like, get really fit and have great workouts and like have one or two good races. And then I would relapse and then like have to restart from scratch. And like, that just got really frustrating. And so then in like third year, I actually like, this is a funny story. I got, well, not that funny. I had to get my thyroid irradiated. So you can either like get surgery to remove your thyroid, or because also the medication that you take is like really hard on your liver. So you can't take it forever. Like, you're only supposed to take it for like 5 years. So I got my thyroid irradiated, where I swallowed a radioactive iodine pill. So I was literally radioactive.
What?
Yeah. You know that song, Imagine Dragons? It's about me, by the way, just so you know.
What? I've never heard of that in my life.
Yeah, it's like when people go through chemo, I think. Like, it's similar. But just because I was so tired of the uncertainty, and this was like in the build up to like the Olympics, I was like, okay, like, what if I was in great shape and then like right before Olympic trials, I get like a relapse? Like, that'd be so frustrating. Basically, what you have to do is you go on like this 2-week diet where you're not allowed to have like any salt, any milk, or like anything like that, which was torture because I freaking love chocolate and I wasn't allowed to eat it. And like, no, I'm not going to have the 100% dark chocolate. No, that's
ew,
like,
ew,
not,
ew, ew, yeah. That's like gagging.
Exactly. I'm not going to, come on. That's not the same thing. And then you swallow this pill, and then for like 48 hours, I had a quarantine. So I actually quarantined before COVID. That's the thing.
Wait, why do you have to quarantine?
Because you're emitting you're radioactive.
Stop. So people, like, oh my gosh.
You, yeah, like if people have health conditions, it can be dangerous.
Oh my god, it's like a dangerous society. Like if you went out and
exactly. And I had to like use my own bathroom because like my urine was like the most radioactive part, because it's like that's where you're discharging it.
Dude, did you feel different? Like, did you feel radioactive? Like, did you feel like an alien a little bit?
I wish I could say yes. But you know what? The funniest part actually that happened is in about a month after the surgery happened, my family went to Florida just for like a family vacation. And at the airport, we were going through customs, and all of a sudden, one of the customs officers, like, their belt goes off, and they're like, like the radioactive detector is going off on their belt. Then they're like, did anyone here like undergo a medical procedure recently? So then I was like, oh yeah, that was me. And I had to go to like the further customs area where they took out this like huge radioactive detector, which is more sensitive, to make sure it was like actually the correct amount, for the procedure I got. And as they like walked towards me, this like massive radioactive detector just like went like beep, 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 beep. And, when it was over me, and it was so funny. Anyway, yeah, that was pretty interesting. But yeah,
that's like, yeah, I mean, obviously not the best circumstances, but that is a cool story to be able
right
to
Yeah, like talk about a good party story. Like I can tell people I was
Dude, I need
radioactive
to have you, like, you're gonna be my wingwoman at parties. So I'm gonna be like, look at my cool friend over here. She's got some cool stories to whip out when I like run out of things to talk about. So you it was a pill?
Yeah, it was a pill. It was really weird because like I had to wear this like whole get up and then just to like swallow a pill. It was so bizarre. And then slowly it takes like 6 months, I think, for it to fully like or finish its job. And then yeah, you just like slowly transition to now, like now I don't really have a thyroid, so I'm on like the hormone supplement to replace
Okay.
it. Because that way it's just like more steady and you can like just take it for the rest of your life. Whereas the other one is so like all over the place.
Yeah. So do you feel better now? Like, can you make it, does it, did it help a lot?
Oh yeah, for sure. Because yeah, I think I had like I had one little blip at altitude just because I think like when you go to altitude, like it can affect your thyroid. But other than that, like my thyroid's been steady for since the like since I 2019. So it's been way better.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Man, I can't imagine like dealing all with all that, like being an athlete too. I feel like that would just, I don't know. I don't even know how. I have like no medical issues, which I'm very grateful for, but I don't even know how like you kind of persevere through that. I feel like after a while I would just get like tired and just give up.
Yeah. Well, the thing with this is, which is honestly like a ble it's definitely a blessing, but like you can train while you're doing this. It's just like your body literally doesn't feel like your own. So you're just like doing this training and you're like not hitting anything that you're usually able to do, and it just you feel like bleh all
See, I feel
the
like my
time.
ego would just be so fed up at some point, though. See,
Yeah,
even if
no,
I could
it
train,
was
if I was
tough.
like, if I felt like really bad all the time and I was way slower, I'd be like, dude, is this worth it? I guess like what kept you going?
I think, well, first of all, because like, yeah, most of the people who have this condition aren't athletes, so I think doctors are used to like taking it a lot slower. So I was like pretty like
Like, give me that pill. Give me that pill really quick.
like my coach and I like went worked with a doctor who was very nice and like yeah they're not used to dealing with athletes but we were just like okay we gotta like get this sorted like we're on a timeline here and so I think just like being very like on top of it was huge and then also I would get these little glimpses of amazing fitness which I think would like keep me going and because I knew what was going on I think it was like okay this isn't just like you're not it's not just because you're out of shape it's like there's a reason this is happening. And because I was still able to run, it's not like I was sidelined on the bike. I was still able to like show up at practice, and like I had a lot of really good friends on the team. So I was still able to do workouts and hang out with them. And then the one year where I got my like when it, where I swallowed the pill, I still I still like competed for the team. I just did like relays and stuff. And like even though I ran a lot slower, it was still fun to like be a part of the team. I did just kind of have to put my ego aside. Which, it can be tough, but it's okay. I'm
Yeah.
reaping the rewards now, right? So,
Yeah, see, like you made it to the other side.
yeah, it was hard
Did you have any like
though,
injuries along the way at all, or was it mainly just that issue?
yeah. That was a, I mean, knock on wood, that was like the main, yeah, that was my main big setback. And I've been pretty lucky body wise other than that. In high school, I had a stress fracture and in first year a stress reaction. But other than that, it was really just the thyroid, which honestly, thank God I didn't have any other injuries because I don't know if I would have made it to the other side if I had that coupled with like physical and or like stress fractures and stuff like that that made me more
Well, yeah, because
sidelined.
then you actually wouldn't be able to run. So then it's like, oh, is this really made for me? But
Yeah.
I'm always like amazed by the people that are injury ridden, but then they make it to the other side and then they just start like
I
doing
know.
phenomenally. I'm like, I don't know how people do it. I really don't. Like, I don't know. An injury every once in a while, it's inevitable. So I feel like people, you can get through a couple, but it's like just constantly year after year after year. I feel like I would just go insane.
I know. It's also just weird how some people are injury prone. Like, I just think that's weird and kind of obviously unfair. Like, why are some people's bodies just so much more injury prone than others because I feel like I'm jinxing this and I'm really scared but like I've been really lucky and I almost feel like Like, what am I doing? Like, I don't want to say this, but I don't like deserve this luck. Like, thank you. I mean, okay, again, I, you know, don't quote me on that. I'm very happy. I feel like some sort of like Jamie's gonna come out and curse me.
No, stop. Everyone listening to this is gonna be knocking on wood for you. So
thank you very much. But it is just weird. I think you just have to learn your body and figure out what works, I guess. But yeah, it's just one of those things, you know.
What you said, like, sometimes I feel like me being like as healthy as I am, it almost feels unfair. Like you said, like, I forgot who it was, but I was like, when I was in college, like, I've been a pretty healthy person like my whole life. Like, I haven't really, I dealt with injuries when I was like growing in high school. And then the only one I really had in college was an Achilles one that was my own fault and me just being stupid, which I've talked about too many times. But other than that, like, I was very healthy. Like, I ran year round, didn't have really any issues at all. Didn't really do like the band exercises, like, not the best at the little things, whatever. But it's like, and it almost felt unfair because then I would see people around me like getting injured or just people that honestly just like wanted it so much more than me. But for some reason they like couldn't put it together or whatever. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I want to like give my body away to someone else who like wants to drive, like has the drive more than I do.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's a weird feeling.
I mean, yeah, it's so weird. And even like Maddie, like my training partner, she had like 5 years of like totally healthy body, like great consistent training. And then basically since 2020, I think, she like broke her sacrum. And since then she's been like healthy and able to like, I mean, she went to the Olympics, she's been running really, really well, but like, she'll just get like these little niggles every now and then. And she keeps like talking about like to me, like, I'm so jealous of you. Like, your indestructible body, like, what the hell? You're just, I took it for granted when I had it. And
okay, well, then you could just hit her with I took a radioactive pill, okay? I was radioactive for a while.
I know. She doesn't mean it in a bad way. I'm like,
no, I know.
She does say that.
Yeah, exactly. That would be my first fire back.
Well, you had your thyroid.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do say that. And I was like, yeah, well, I had other things going on. And she knows that too. But it is just, it is weird. It's weird.
I feel like everyone has their own little struggles, you know, because I mean, I feel guilty on at this point in my life right now, because like, it's the same thing. There's no reason why I can't run, and honestly why I can't be good. I have no like physical issues, there's nothing really wrong with me. And it's like the same thing where I feel like a little guilty that I'm not, you know, putting my full heart into it. But then I also realize that there's more life than running, and then I spent my whole life doing it, and that it's okay to like not do it. And that there's no opportunity for me to give my body to someone else. So why do I even think about these things? I think I just go insane living alone. And these are the things I think about all the time.
Yeah. I can relate to that so much. I'm living alone for the first time, like, ever. And yeah, just some of the things you think about, you're like, what?
Oh my gosh. Wait, okay. I'm curious. How do you stay sane living alone?
Oh my God. Well, you know, like I said, I like to sit on my bed and strum my guitar.
That's a good
I
one.
Sing some like good old like Johnny Cash jail songs, you know, pretend like I'm really going through it. a lot of podcasts. I have a noise machine because I hate the quiet. Like, I don't like silence. So I just constantly have noise going on, whether I'm listening to a podcast, music, or like wave sounds or rain sounds on my white noise machine. That helps. I don't know. I think maybe I am slightly going insane, so but in a good way, you know.
Yeah, there's so many pros and cons to living alone. Like, the pros definitely outweigh the cons, because like, I've been doing it for many years.
Totally.
But then there's like some days where I'm like, like even earlier today I was just like laying on my couch, and I'm the same way, where I need music or like a podcast or something on at all times.
Yeah.
But then today I was like overstimulated this morning, and I just like turned off everything. I was just like laying on my couch like this, just like laying staring, and I was like, am I going insane? Like, is this what it means? Like, should I have someone else's company around? Like, I feel like I'm going crazy. But those are more rare moments. I feel like more, I'm like,
yeah,
happy that I live alone. But
oh, totally. It is like a cool feeling, because you do just feel like 100% in control of your life, which is just like really nice. Because I just, before this, you know, I was living out like in high school, obviously living at home, and then undergrad, I'm living with friends, and like, and then I've lived with like Andrea in Portland, and then at Altitude with like the girls. So it's like you're always having other people around, and you're influenced by that presence, right? Like your day, kind of, you know, like, which is fine and normal. But when you're alone, it's like you have 100% control over like what you want to do in your day. It's all up to you, and it's kind of scary. I'm like, someone take the control away from me because I don't know what to do with my life. So, but it's also really nice.
That's I'm getting better. Okay, I was at Run Club yesterday, like here in San Diego, and I like you meet a lot of new people at Run Club or whatever, and then I have to tell everyone that I'm like cringily, like I have to be like I'm an influencer when everyone asks like what people do for work, whatever. And then people are like, oh my god, like that's so cool, whatever. I'm like, yeah, I mean it has its pros and cons, you know, like there's it's like every job. Pros outweigh the cons. But one of the things I said was like the hardest thing, and it may sound like the most amazing thing to everyone else, whatever. But every single day for the last like 4 years, I've woken up and been like, what do I do today? And which is amazing. But when it's day after day after day and the world is like, there's no decisions that are ever made for you ever, really. Oh, it drives you insane. Like, and I think it's like getting to me more lately where I like, I think I'm going a little bit insane because of that. But again, it's just like life, it ebbs and flows. So I'm just hoping that this will pass. But yeah, it's like, it's very hard to deal with sometimes.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I know exactly what you're saying. And it's a weird thing to admit because, yeah, people are like, what are you talking about? Like, that sounds like the dream. Like, you just can do whatever the hell you want. And I'm like, yes, but that's so hard. What do I want to do? I don't know. And it's like, I think just, I don't know what it is. I totally get it though. And it's, yeah, it's hard to explain. It's just like, there's so much energy that goes into like, decisions in general. So like when you constantly have to make them all the time, it's just tiring. Like, oh, so that's why I've tried to do as well as I could, like as much as I can take the decisions away. So with like this program, it's helping. You know, like I've like volunteered sometimes, and then like I've done my best to establish a morning routine and a nighttime routine. And these are all things that like most adults just do and don't complain about. But for me, it seems to be challenging.
No, I need to complain about it every chance I get. But also I do it to myself because I don't have a good morning routine other than I wake up to no alarm almost every morning. And I just you know, stretch out my arm. Like, okay, first thing, where do I get coffee? You know, like it's not like a healthy morning routine, but I tend to do it every day. But also I think that's why like a lot of professional runners, like they can't train themselves. Like a lot of professional runners, people know what they have to do to be good at running. Like it's not rocket science most of the time. Like, cause I'm sure you know your body really well. Most elite runners know their body really well. Yeah. You kind of know what it needs, whatever. But if a pro runner has to make the decision of what they're doing every day, I feel like it would just mentally exhaust you time after time after time. Totally. Again. So I feel like that's why people have coaches a lot of the time. It's just taking that decision away.
Oh, totally. And like play, like at least having someone in your else in your corner to put your faith into instead of like 100% just putting it in yourself. Not that like you're still putting it in yourself, but no,
it's like
I agree.
Support system.
Yeah, exactly.
System. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I need a coach. People. Maybe I need a life coach.
A life coach, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I would love a life coach. Someone to plan all my outfits. Someone to like tell me what to eat at all times. Although I think after like a week, I probably would be like, stop telling me what to do.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm independent. I'm fine. Yeah, kind of the same. It's yeah, like well, I would love like someone to just be my assistant and like plan everything for me. But, you know, we're in the running world. What?
I would totally get sick of it though. That's the thing. I'd like say this, but then I'd be like, no, I want to do what I like. I want to make, you know, it's just like, we're never happy. Eh? We're just never satisfied.
We'll never be happy. That's just what life's all about.
Just kidding. I'm very happy, you know, but you know, there's some,
we both are. I'll just complain about my no routine every day and me getting coffee in the morning. Jeez, what a sucky life.
I feel terrible right now.
No. I think people will find this funny, right?
I hope so. Otherwise, I guess I'm like the biggest tool on the planet.
I'll be right there along with you. We'll just be walking toolboxes because we both sound like.
In high school, there was this program on the radio that we would listen to on the way to school every day, and it was called Tool of the Day. And the guys would just like tell a story of like some local dumbass. And I feel like I should be nominated for Tool of the Day.
I think I'm nominated for Tool of the Life, because I feel like that's, someone could just like say that about me anytime I do anything, I feel like. But oh well, I
just
embrace
it. Lean into it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, lean into it. That's what I, yeah. Oh man, there's like some phrase that we were using. I think lean into it was like the phrase that I was using with my friends last year, where it's like, no matter what you do, you just got to lean into it. And it was just like a funny mm-hmm. little phrase. So I'm going to start using it again, because I just like re-excited me for that. So everything I do, I'm just gonna, like tomorrow when I go and I wake up and I get my coffee, I'm like, I'm just going to lean into this, you know?
That's great. You know what? I'm going to do that too. We can touch base again in a couple months. See how it's going.
Yeah.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Also, I like how this podcast, like, we've been talking for, what, like, 50 minutes now? And I don't think we've brought up running, like, for 5 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Come on, I feel like people like, you know, it's exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, again, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but do you have any, like, big running goals? Hard pivot.
And by the way, while we're on the topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think, like, this past Saturday, that was, like, a big one. So that's nice to get that out of the way, you know, nice and early in the year. But
that was a big one. All right, what next?
No, but I think, honestly, I think I have like tiers of goals. So like, for example, in these next two races, these are just like super stacked races. And I haven't, other than the Olympics and Worlds, like I haven't been in races of this caliber before. And so I think just like learning how to navigate a competitive race and like try my best to perform as high as I can, that's like a goal number one. And then obviously, when you focus on that, you hope that the times kind of follow. So I would love to get, you know, world standard out of the way. And then, you know, the Canadian indoor record belongs to my sister. So, and it's 419. And, you know, that's not an easy one to get. But it's, you know, it's at the back of my mind. If it happens, that would be great. But, yeah, and then outdoors, I think, you know, running under 4 minutes for the 15, running under 2 minutes for the 800, those are definitely goals that I really want to accomplish and I think are realistic. But again, just focusing on racing as much as I can and getting into, you know, as many big meets as I can, and then making worlds and being in that world final, that would be great. And then long term, I mean, obviously, I think, yeah, I would love, obviously, to try to get a world medal at some point, but I understand that that's very difficult to do. So I'm just going to do my best and see what happens.
Yeah. I'm going to have a giant goal that scares them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious about like the dynamic with your sister. Cause obviously like, oh my God, that must be like very competitive. I feel like, or at least growing up, it probably was. What does that look like? Like, what's the relationship with you and your sister in running?
Yeah, I think when we were both in high school, it's like a 3-year age gap. So she's 3 years older than me. I think it was tough in high school because, I mean, she's talked about this before. I think being the older sister, you do want to be better because you're, you know, and like there's more pressure, I guess. So I think it was definitely tough at times to feel like your little sister is like chomping at your heels. But we always did, and we still do a really good job at like supporting each other. And it never became like, it would get heated sometimes on easy runs where, you know, she would be like, Lucia, you're one stepping me. And sometimes we like run on opposite sides of the street because
whatever you're saying, I completely relate. I have a sister. I have two sisters. My younger one wasn't as competitive, but my older sister, she's 1 year above me. So we were together in high school as well. So whatever you say, I'm sure I can relate to.
Yeah.
Running on the opposite sides of the street. When you literally just get fed up, you're like, I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, because then I'd be like, I'm not run stopping you. This is how I run. Like, deal with it. And then it would just get to the point where it's like, yeah, we've got to separate ourselves. Because I do get that critique a lot that I'm a bit of a one-stepper and it's not on purpose, everyone.
Ooh, that's a bad look. That's a bad look.
I know. Okay. The thing is I think it's like, actually, you know what it is? I don't think I'm a one-stepper, but I hang on really close to like people's shoulders. And so I think my presence stresses them out because people have told me this before. Like a lot of the guys that I train with at the university guys, like, I won't be one-stepping them because like they're leading the rep, but like I'm like right on them and they say it like freaks them out so much and so then they go too fast. And yeah. I swear I'm not doing it on purpose.
Oh my gosh, you're literally like the person that's like coming up beside you in lane two, but like not passing you, but just like making their presence known and it's like, hurry up.
Kind of, you know. but yeah, and I apologize for it, you know, but the nice thing is I think like Maddie, for example, like my main training partner, we have a really good dynamic because she's also 3 years older, but we have like kind of a sisterly dynamic, but because we're not actually sisters, it doesn't come with all the like complicated parts and like the competition. Yeah. So it's like when I do stuff like that, it doesn't irritate her. She's like, that's just Lou. It's all good. But with my sister, she's like, can you please stop? You are driving me nuts. Yeah. Right. So yeah, I think it's, you know, it's good. But I think my sister and I, you know, like, I think we're at a really good place where, we're just, you know, cheering each other on and we kind of approach the sport differently. And we had like a nice conversation about it recently where we kind of were like, yeah, I think, you know, we just like approach things differently and like what makes us tick and like what makes us feel fulfilled looks different. And that's like true with a lot of runners, right? Everyone approaches it differently. So yeah, it's really nice. It's good.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, to have a healthy relationship, I feel like at that level would probably, and you're in the same events too.
I know. Luckily, relentless. She's like 5K 15, and I'm like 8:15, so helps a little bit. But
yeah, but you're still meeting in the middle in the 1500. Yeah, which is like very aggressive. So
yeah,
yeah. But I mean, it sounds like it's healthy, which is good.
Totally.
But then you guys were on. I mean, then you went to the same team together, so you must like. How was that? Like, was that, I don't know, you're older then too, so I feel like you're not going to be bickering as much, at least.
No.
I don't know. I imagine now if I was on a team with my sister, I don't think we'd bicker as much.
Yeah. It was good. I think it helped that there were, like, a lot of other girls. I think if it was, like, just the two of us, then it would be, you know, we would start bickering again. You fall, old habits die hard, right?
Yeah.
It honestly was really great. You know, we'd have some fun little banter every now and then, but not like bickering. It was really fun. We didn't even like get too much into 1500 training together because when I was doing more specific 1500 stuff at altitude, she was focusing on the 5K. Which I think helps just like our strengths and workouts are look different. So I think that just helps like make it a bit more separated. But it was really fun. It was nice being like on the same team and
sounds like a positive experience, which is all you can ask for with family. So
yeah.
Okay, well, I want to get into some listener questions to close out the episode because again, I won't take up too much of your time because
no problem.
We've chatted a lot about friendship.
She's been so fun, you know.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Do you have the salon or the gene that where? Whoa, I can't talk. Do you have the gene that makes cilantro taste like soap?
Oh, thank God, no. I love cilantro. I'll put cilantro on anything.
Me too. Me too. I don't get that. I'm like, how does it taste like soap? Literally, I use cilantro like it's like spinach. Like, I will just throw it into my salad.
Same. Oh, yeah, totally. On eggs, anything.
Yeah. Okay, that was like the most, that has to be one of the, like the more random questions I get. Usually they're like at least a little bit, I don't know.
To do with running?
To do with running or something. Okay, what's your favorite workout?
Oh, that's so hard. Okay, I think I really like block fours to like get me feel ready for 15. But I also love a good, like, we do this one where it's like five hard 300s, just kind of like all out. And you just survive. That's really fun.
Only five? That I just can't even imagine how fast. How fast are you running them?
So it depends. There's like different ways to do the workout, and we actually haven't done it in a while. So like sometimes we've done it where it's like only 3 minutes rest. So you'll go like, I don't know, like maybe 42 and then see.
Ew. But then,
and like try to hang on. But then sometimes we do, we haven't done it in a long time now that I think about it. I kind of miss it. But yeah, I don't actually know. That's a good question. Like if I were to do it now, I don't know what it would look like. I'll have to, maybe that'll be the next workout. I'll have to see.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the next one on your schedule, it sounds like.
We did this at Bowerman once, but I totally like misread the workout, or like I don't think I did it properly because it was like six threes with like 3 minutes rest. And I thought we were just supposed to like go all out at the start, but I think you were supposed to control a little bit. My first 300 was 39 and I actually died. I died. It was hilarious. Everyone had a good laugh about it. And
I can't imagine running 39 for 300. 39?
Me neither. I think it was an out of body experience. I paid for it.
I think the fastest I've ever run a 300 in my life is like 43. Like I can't even imagine 43, like high. I can't even imagine running a 39 and what that would feel like, especially being a first rep.
Yeah, it felt nice, and then it didn't feel nice after.
Yeah, the like fifth one, that probably felt terrible.
Yeah, I don't think I made it to the fifth one.
Legs were lactic after 200 meters of that first rep, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, walk us through a perfect warm up before a workout like that.
Oh, good question. Whoa, my warm up is usually like 12 minutes of, you know, jogging, depending on how I feel. It could be, you know, really slow or sometimes a bit faster. If I'm feeling good, hopefully it's like not over 5 minutes. And then we usually do some like tempo. Oh, sorry, that's per kilometer. By the way.
I was picking that up. I was like, I wonder if people are going to think that's like 5 minute mile.
Yeah, you know, I like to do my warm up at sub 5 minute mile.
5 minute mile pace.
And then we usually do some like tempo in our warm up. So like, it depends. Like before a race, it'll be like 2 by 1 minute, really nothing. But before a workout, it's usually longer. Like it could be like 10 minutes of tempo. And then we do some drills and then some strides. And then again, before a race, I'll usually do like a 200 or 150 at pace. Before a workout, usually not so much. And then, yeah, and then you just get her done, get into it.
Nice. That's like a lot of like raising the heart rate before a race and workout, like doing like little tempo. Ooh.
Yeah, but it's like 2 by 1 minute tempo, you know, like it's just to like so that your legs don't feel like you just got out of bed, kind of.
Yeah, that makes sense. See, I'm like a weird person and I literally do like one stride. I'm like, all right, I gotta conserve all the energy. Like when people are like doing like strides off the line when we're like on the start line, I'm like, why are you doing that? Like you're losing tired. ATP or whatever that thing is at the beginning.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Totally.
But everyone's different, you know. Who am I to judge? Everyone goes trial and error, you know.
Exactly.
Someone asked hobbies outside of running, but I feel like you've already explained it.
Yeah,
many talents. Yeah, anything else?
I like to sketch and draw. I really like hiking and walking. Preferably in a nice forest.
forest park.
Yeah. I don't know. I like in the summer, I like kayaking, playing spike ball. I don't know if those are hobbies so much. I like to read. I don't know. I'm not a cooker, though. I like to bake cookies, chocolate chip to be exact.
There we go. Okay. I feel like you got a good resume there.
There you go.
Also, what months were you living in Portland?
Literally, I think I lived there November and part of December and then part of March. Yep.
Okay, so you weren't even there, like, during the nice times of the year. You were there during, like, the gross part.
I know.
And you still liked it when it was, like, all rainy and gross? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I loved it.
Wow. Hey, I like Portland a lot, too. I mean, I lived there for, like, 2 years. But the rain just is too much.
I know. I think, like, it's not necessarily Portland that I love. I think it's, like, just those West Coast forests. That's why I say, like, the West Coast. Because it's just, like, the lush and the hiking and just, like, the lifestyle out there. I think I do tend to romanticize things as well.
Literally me. Like, when I move anywhere, it's, like, oh. Like, I romanticize literally everything.
Yeah.
Especially when I look back and I, like, I know I had a bad time doing whatever it was. I just, like, I look back. I'm so nostalgic. Like, I look back and I'm like, that was, like, some of the best memories of my life.
Getting that coffee yesterday morning.
No, like, literally, it was a movie. It was, like, crazy.
It's never going to be the same.
It's never going to be the same, except for tomorrow when I do it all over again.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite city that you've ever traveled to for running?
Ooh. Oh my goodness. I mean, Vancouver, but that's just because I want to live there really badly. But favorite, like, exciting city that I, like, visited for travel? Oh, that's tough. Oh my gosh. Sorry.
The listeners are, like, on the edge of their seat. They're like, tell us, hurry.
Oh, man. Okay. I went to Naples for the World University Games, and I really liked Sorrento. It was beautiful. Italy is just beautiful. So I feel like that, yeah, there you go.
Okay. I've never been to either of those. I've never been to Italy. I've never really been to Europe. Oh, obviously, I've only been to Poland.
I've been to Poland too.
What were you there for?
The World Junior Championships, it was in Bydgoszcz. That was a cool city. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. I hope that's how you pronounce it. Bydgoszcz. Yeah, that was really cool.
I was in I don't even remember what it's called, and I'm gonna pronounce it wrong too. It's like Krynica Krynica Zdrój. That's probably
that
very
good.
Probably incorrect. It's, and I don't even remember how it's, like, spelled. I'm just, like, I think it's how I say it. I don't know. And it's for the World Mountain Running Championships.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. I'm not a mountain runner, though, at all. So that was, like, a one-and-done type sitch. And it was in high school.
Did you compete at it?
What?
Oh, you competed at it. That's so cool.
Yeah, but I was, like, a junior. Like, it was, like, a more lower key. Like, I feel like the senior races are, like, actually pretty – I mean, the junior races were intense, too, but I feel like they're more known than, like, the senior – trail running scene or whatever, but I died. I was that. I'm not, like, meant to go up hills like that. It was, like, literally up a black diamond. It was crazy.
That's, like, in high school. So in Ontario, we have something called OFSA, and it's, like, the provincial championships. And my grade 12 OFSA cross country championships was at a ski resort, and so, like, it was literally 4K up a ski mountain and then 1K downhill, and it was freaking terrible. I've literally skied there before. I was doing the race, like, I remember doing this on skis. Why am I running right now? And it was so terrible. Oh my gosh, that haunts me. Like, sometimes I fall asleep at night and I get flashbacks of that hill.
Why would they do that? I feel like that's, like, torture.
Yeah, I think there was, like, people rioted after, you know, like, people were not happy. And I mean, it was back at a ski resort this year, though, so I don't know if they learned their lesson.
They just really torture people and put them through a memory that they'll never forget.
Yeah, exactly. See, I mean, it worked. I did not forget it, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe you'll, like, romanticize it one day. You'd be like, oh, that was, like, this is, like, the best race of my life, man. I loved running up the whole ski mountain.
Every step was beauty. Pain is beauty.
Every step was beauty. That's what I'm thinking about my next, like tempo run that I'm, like, hating my life. Like, every step is beauty.
That's a good motto.
Okay, well, the last question I have is, do you have any advice for your younger self?
Oh, man. Yeah, constantly. I think just, like, patience, honestly, is a big one. And, like, just getting out of your head, I think, is really big. I am definitely someone who overthinks a lot. And, you know, you can life is very long and things take time. And so I think it's really hard to sometimes not get ahead of yourself and just like constantly think of like the next goal or the next big trip or the next whatever you have on the line. And just like, yeah, really enjoying where you are, because I think that's a trap a lot of people fall into, you know, it's just like, what's next? And you're constantly looking for on the horizon. But like we said, then you look back and you're like, wow, those were the good days, right? So, and I think that's something I still need to work on, like being in the moment and like staying grounded, because yeah, that's it's tough, it's tricky. So yeah, that's what I would tell them, her.
Yeah, that's good advice. Honestly, I feel like I definitely fell into that when I was younger. Like when I was in high school, I was like, oh, I just can't wait for college, you know?
Yeah.
Like NCAA running is going to be a movie or whatever. And then now I look back, I'm like, my high school career was so fun. I wish I like really wasn't so focused on the next chapter. And I think when my frontal lobe developed when I turned 25, like that's when I like really started to live more in the moment.
Right.
And really just like appreciate even like, you know, the ebbs and the flows. Like I wish, like I just, even when I'm in like a bad moment of my life, I'm like, you know what? I'll look back and be like, this was the greatest day of my life. So I just try to like really remember and like appreciate wherever I'm at, you know. But it's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Way easier said than done.
Yeah. Well, I think also because like life is so weird that every stage of your life, you are kind of constantly like working towards something. So it's gonna be hard to not just like want to be at that something, whatever it is. But then it's like every stage of your life is so unique in its own way. So you have to just like lean it, like we said, lean into it and enjoy it, because you're not going to have that again. And yeah. And so high school, you know, can be tough, but you're never going to be in high school again. So just lean into it, man.
Love that. Honestly, that's like a perfect way to end the episode. Where can people like follow you, you know, follow your journey? If you post on the internet.
Yeah. Sometimes I've gotten better at it. I've made an effort to be better at it. I have Instagram, Lucia Stafford 7, and that's pretty much it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
The most common answer I get is like, then people say, oh, I have Twitter, but I never use it or something like that. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, so don't go follow you on Twitter.
Yeah. No, I never even started the Twitter. So
it's probably for the best. Even, running Twitter is very odd, so I don't recommend getting on.
Yeah. I don't even know what making a tweet would feel like. Bizarre.
I literally like tweet the most random stuff. Like it's stupid. It's honestly, I just go on there to rot my brain, to be honest.
So. Yeah. It's like journaling.
Yeah, exactly. Some people write songs and some people just tweet Twitter. Off their mindless thoughts into the abyss.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
All right, Lucia. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know we talked about like so many different things. I really enjoyed this because I felt like I was just talking to a friend about the same experiences that I have, but yeah, I'm sure other people enjoyed it too, listening to it, I hope. To close out the episode though, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Commas Over Cold Brew. I know that this episode was all over the place. I just finished recording. Honestly, I had the best time recording with her because we didn't talk about running that much. I just like to hear about other people's interests or just like weird stories. I feel like that's my favorite part of talking to people and just like hearing, I don't know, little interesting parts of their life. So I hope you guys enjoyed just being the little fly on the wall as per usual. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date and submit listener questions for the episodes. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It means the world to me reading your guys' reviews. And thank you all so much for listening. I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.